At this time, I'm going to introduce an affidavit from Stephen Garitano, and I'll read briefly from it. In order to save some time, I'll skip over portions of it and read the pertinent portions into the record. My introduction to Scientology was in January of 1977, when the following representations were made to me concerning the benefits of auditing in Scientology. These representations were that auditing was scientifically guaranteed to confer the following benefits. And then there's a number of them listed, which I won't read. And then there's a statement about Mr. Hubbard's background and and Mr. Garitano's reliance on them. Based on the above representations, I joined the Church of Scientology. After 2.5 years experience as a Scientologist, I eventually discovered that the above representations were false and made for the single purpose of enticing people to purchase auditing and courses and or join staff. In early 1979, I was at Flag Land Base in Clearwater, Florida. I contracted an illness which was later diagnosed to be hepatitis. I received an injection hypodermic needle from a Scientologist dressed in a white uniform, which I was told was a hepatitis vaccine. To my knowledge, this individual was not a medical doctor. I was later diagnosed by my father, Dr. Garitano, in the Beth Israel Hospital in Boston to have suffered from hepatitis, mononucleosis, and strep throat. While in Clearwater, I observed the living conditions of staff members to be unsanitary. On one occasion, I entered a small room which was constructed to facilitate one occupant inhabited by a minimum of 8 people. These individuals slept in 2 triple bunks and 2 single beds. The conditions for those individuals imprisoned in the Rehabilitation Project Force, RPF, were unhealthy and unsanitary. Those individuals were forced to live and sleep in the garage, and it signed Stephen Garitano under the pains and penalties of perjury. If need be, Mr. Garitano at some point could be called to testify. The next witness is Janie Peterson.
You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
Your name is Janie Peterson?
Yes.
All right, Ms. Peterson, I must ask you the same generic questions I've asked all the other witnesses, and they are. Are you hearing today and testifying under oath voluntarily?
Yes.
All right. Have you been paid by anyone for your testimony other than expenses for coming to Clearwater?
No.
You have a lawsuit against the Church of Scientology?
Yeah.
Does the Church of Scientology have a lawsuit against you?
Yes.
Has anyone suggested to you that you should state anything but the truth, or has anyone suggested that you change your testimony for any reason?
No.
Thank you. Would you like to make a statement or say something in your own words?
Yes, basically, I'd just like to briefly give you a rundown of my background in Scientology, and then you can ask me whatever questions you want to. I was involved in Scientology for 5 years, from 1975 until July of 1980. During that time period, I held 3 different positions in the organization. The first one was called the Director of Processing, which is in charge of all the auditing that occurs within the organization. I was then promoted to a position called the Technical Secretary, which was in charge of all the auditing and training that occurred within the organization. About a year later, I was promoted to the Guardian's Office, which was the last position that I had. During the time period that I was in the Guardian's Office was the time period when the Hartwells and Lavita Van Shake, another lady who was involved in Clearwater, Tanya Burden. This was during the time period when they were all leaving the church and were having various problems.
You were the head auditor?
I beg your pardon?
You were the head auditor?
I was the executive over the auditing that occurred at the Las Vegas organization.
Who devised, who thought up auditing, and or who used, who improved upon it? Who devised the test? Who did the training? There must be a training manual that you must use, a teaching aid. Was that you?
No, Mr. Hubbard.
Every technique used in auditing was Mr. Hubbard's.
That's correct.
And he gave it to you and others, and then you carried it out.
That's correct. You were not allowed to do anything on your own.
All right. I'd like to know, what You did in the Guardian's office vis-a-vis these other people that you have mentioned.
I beg your pardon?
What did you do in the Guardian's office with respect to these other people that you have mentioned?
Mr. and Mrs. Hartwell left Scientology very upset. They were, had received a bill from the head office. I'm not exactly sure where, and they were having some sort of an upset. Mrs. Hartwell's daughter was the executive director of the organization at that time. What's called a mission was sent up to the organization from the United States Guardian's office. I might point out right here that all of Guardian's offices are run exactly the same. They all are run by the United States Guardian's office, which is in Los Angeles. All orders and all procedures that come into any Guardian's office come from the United States Guardian's office. They operate off the same policies. So there's no difference between the one here and the one in Las Vegas or Utah or wherever. And the Hartwells were subjected to this mission that came up from Los Angeles. They had several meetings with a man by the name of Alan Hubbard who was taping their conversations, although the Hartwells were not aware of that. Mr. Hartwell's auditing information, copies of the auditing information were made and circulated all over the United States and out of the country. They also went to the Worldwide Guardian's office, which is in England. At one point, his auditing information was it was being used against him. In other words, he was also accused of trying to extort church money from the church. This was based on many, many hours of taped testimony that was then taken and edited down into a very small cassette tape. Tanya Burden, her auditing information was sent in to the it was sent here to Las Vegas from the Guardian's office here in Clearwater. Confidential auditing information that she had given. It was accompanied with an order to the public relations person in Las Vegas to take to the Review Journal, which is a newspaper, in an attempt to discredit her, to show that she was this bad person, supposedly, based on this information. On Mrs. Van Schaik, she already spoke about the a program that was written up called Shake and Bake. Basically, all programs that were written up were given a name, and this just happened to be the name that had. The purpose of the program was to, in fact, it was either the first or second step listed on the program was, the wording was plant seeds of doubt in her mind concerning her attorney, Michael Flynn, and in her husband's mind regarding her character. I really don't remember anything else on that in particular, unless you have...
No, I just find it interesting that you were the one audited some of the witnesses that have been brought forth before this commission.
That I audited them?
Well, that you were the, pardon me, you were in the Guardian's office that did some dirty tricks with the Hartwells and others.
Yes. Also on the Shake and Bake program, a man by the name of Gary Klingler was sent to Boston to attempt to, what they call, handle her. In other words, to get her to be quiet and to disassociate herself from her attorney and to drop her lawsuit and to keep her mouth shut, basically. He was sent because he was a friend, had used to be a friend of hers, Also, Pam Bevan, who Sherry testified was her attorney, or was her auditor, was sent because it was felt that she would respond to Pam Bevan, where she might not respond to someone else.
When you use these, what you learned through auditing about a person, an individual, a Hartwell for one, and others that you have not mentioned, and you conciced it down and gave it to the press, does the press use this normally? Or do they check it out to find out who you were and who the guardians were and then become suspect?
Well, in the instance of Tanya Burton, the press did not use it. In fact, well, he did not use it. And I don't know if it was used in Clearwater. In other words, I do know that it was not used in Las Vegas.
But specifically, did the press, or generally speaking, not mentioning Clearwater or an individual, did they use this information gathered through auditing against an individual as a filler for a slow day or whatever reasons they used it? If the press didn't use it, then why? Who do you give it to?
Who do you give it to?
This information. Their spouse, their loved ones, or... Mr. Hartwell said his information, confidential information, ended up in the newspaper. Apparently, the Guardian's office gave that information to the newspaper.
Yes.
Was that commonplace that newspapers would use information supplied to them by the Guardian's office, supplied to the newspaper?
I don't know on a general basis. It was only done a few times while I was in the Guardian's office.
I'm just wondering if the newspapers are generally duped by this. So.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. We have an outline of here. Would you like to go into the fair game, the suicides, the lone student doctrines, etc.? Or would you rather us just ask you questions?
Well, basically, on the fair game policy, I was always told that the fair game policy was canceled, and I believed this to be true until I went into the Guardian's office. And upon entering the Guardian's office, I found that indeed it was not canceled. The actual words fair game were not, to my knowledge, were not spoken, or at least when I was around. However, the practices were, inasmuch as that there was a man who, Mr. Walters, who had been in Scientology for some time, and he was under suspect from the Guardian's office. He was basically unhappy with some of the things that were occurring, and he was speaking out against them to other Scientologists. And investigations were being done when I first went into the Guardian's office to Mr. Walters' background. They were looking for his so-called crime. There's a policy by Mr. Hubbard in the Guardian's office is called Attacks on Scientology, where it says if anyone says anything bad about Scientology, you look into their past because they have what he called blood-dripping crime. So Mr. Walters, the pre-clear folder, his auditing information was being gone through looking for that. He was expelled and declared a suppressive person, and a list of people, including his wife and his stepchildren, was issued stating that these people were what's called potential trouble sources. In other words, they were connected to Mr. Walters and that they either had to disconnect from him or they would be also expelled from Scientology. There's a list of about 13 or 14 people. He was...
Are you talking about Mr. Walters now?
Yes. He... There was a... Well, again, I'm referring to the fair game policy. There was a man whose name is Don Cooper, who was a plant, in other words, a spy on Mr. Walters and his friends. He had a code name of Mac. he infiltrated his Mr. Walters' group of friends and became very good friends with Mr. Walters and his wife, family, and friends. A Mac would call the guardian's office at least once a day with information on what Mr. Walters and his friends, and this includes the Hartwells and Tanya Burden, as to what they were doing. There was also another plant, what they called plant. They either called them plants or friends. His code name was Oscar. He later turned out to, his name was, actual fact name was Bill Broderick. His main purpose was to spy on Tanya Burden. Yeah. At one point, the United States Guardian's Office was getting upset because not enough information was coming back on Ms. Burden's activities. So he was flown to Boston to Michael Flynn's office under the guise of being a disaffected, unhappy Scientologist and was trying to get Mr. Flynn to represent him so that he could get sort of inside privy type information to what was going on. And at one point it was being considered that perhaps he would then, after a lawsuit was filed and all that, he would then, Mr. Broderick would then drop his suit and accuse Mr. Flynn of malpractice and raise a point. I don't know if that was ever totally decided, but it was at one point discussed. Another man by the name of Russ Andrews was brought into Las Vegas from Utah, where he was established in a Ms. Burden's apartment building, and he was going to become friends with her and give information back to the Guardian's office regarding Ms. Burden also. All that was never...
How old was Ms. Burden at this time?
At this time?
Yeah.
She's about 19, 20, something like that.
Your outline, you have Scientology, number three, Scientology policies and practice. Potential trouble source, PTS and disconnect. You have one, uniformly adhered. And number two, policies applies to personal experience of divorce, husband, and give children to husband. Is that something that you can, that personally happened to you, or you, is a common policy?
It was something that was applied to me. At one point when I was in the Guardian's office, my husband wanted me to leave the Guardian's office. He did not want me to leave Scientology. He simply just didn't want me to be working so many hours away from my children so much. And I was sort of undecided as to whether I should do that or not. He and I began having a lot of problems over it. Basically, I just felt that I didn't want him to push me into a decision. I wanted to make it on my own. And it was causing some problems. I was quite ill at the time. I was having stomach problems and various problems because of this pressure. I was sent to the United States Guardian's office in an attempt to do what they call a handle. And I was given what they call a chaplain's court, which is basically where a so-called minister of the church comes and gives you counseling. It's like marriage counseling type thing. His name is Paul Schofield. I was told at that time by Mr. Schofield at the very beginning of the interview that he basically didn't care whether my husband and I stayed married or not, but that was totally immaterial. The whole purpose of the counseling was to keep me on staff because I was needed very badly. He then wrote up a program of how my husband and I were supposed to handle our differences. And I was then called into the office, and one of my seniors, which one of my bosses, told me that the problem between my husband and I was becoming totally out of control and totally out of hand, and that basically what he wanted me to do and what I should do and what others had done was to divorce my husband. And since I had two small children and I was financially I would have been unable to support them, that I should give them to my husband because he could support the children, and that I could visit the children on my days off, and that if I did not do that, that I was letting the whole organization down and that there would be ramifications.
What did you do?
I left the guardian's office within a few weeks after that.
Did you leave Scientology or just the guardian's office?
The guardian's office. I left Scientology just about a year later. I still did work for the guardian's office, but I wasn't on staff.
Is your husband still in Scientology?
At that time?
At this time?
No.
You both have left?
We both left at the same time, yes. Okay, in the guardian's office, though, too, I might point out there's various bureaus. It's called there's Information Bureau, Legal Bureau, Public Relations Bureau, Social Coordination, various organizations. Now, my position was Social Coordination, which was basically in charge of Scientology front groups. However, it was a very small guardian's office, and they were under what they call attack from the Hartwells and Mrs. Van Schaik and various other people. So I carried out a lot of duties that normally I would not have done. In other words, in a larger guardian's office, usually social coordination doesn't get into those activities, but because of our limited personnel and all the problems that we were having, I carried out a lot of other duties.